This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herrington deal. Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's Precision Auto, an early single from the North Carolina indie rock band Superchunk, who I happened to see last night in Minneapolis, so give them a shout-out today.
How much is there? Who knows what you're perceiving about Minneapolis, but the Lynx are locked in a titanic struggle, and where the Sabrina Ionescu sunk a shot from basically the logo to beat them last night. Do people in Minnesota seem to care? Like, how big are the Lynx in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard a little bit with that because, like, I don't poll the city. Like, I, most days I don't talk to anybody because I work at home.
Right.
So, I mean, what do I know what people think?
Exactly.
But I will say, so last night before we went to the concert, my friend Addison and I were grabbing a sandwich at a place in St. Paul, and he noted that on the TVs in the restaurant, they were showing the Wolves-Bulls preseason game, not the Lynx-Liberty WNBA Finals game. But then when we went downtown, the club is literally right across the street from the Target Center. But when we went downtown and we were walking to the club, we noticed that in the bars around downtown, they were showing the Liberty Lynx game. And then actually during the show, when the band came out for the encore, they asked, so how'd the Lynx do? And everyone told them, oh, they lost, you know. So there's definitely awareness, but, you know, I don't know. I don't see, like, you know, Lynx flags on every house or whatever.
All right. You wrote a piece about Zach Edey, that I've retweeted, and so I would urge people to go look at it. And one of the interesting things you wrote about was, you know, it can be a little bit dicey to rely on a draft pick, even a first round draft pick, even a low lottery draft pick, but the recent history of centers contributing, pretty good.
Yeah. If you look at true centers taken in the first round, and so who were expected to contribute, right? So, like, there's a guy like Jackson Hayes who was expected to be a raw project and didn't really work out. And then there's a couple guys who were more combo bigs, Jalen Smith, Isaiah Stewart. Actually, Isaiah Stewart was pretty good as a rookie, but I didn't really include them because they're like 6'8 dudes or whatever. They're not like real centers. They're real centers that people drafted with the idea that they would be able to play.
Yep.
Most of them have been able to play. Now, not all of them have played in the context of winning, but part of that is, like, who's drafting them, right? Like, you know, I mean, Detroit was going to be bad no matter what, you know. And so it's rare for a player like Edey to step into a team that is set up to be good even without them. That's sort of the case with Derek Lively last year with Dallas. You know, you had a team like Dallas who just sort of barely dipped down and missed the playoffs after being a playoff team the year before, and they get a lottery pick and they add Derek Lively. It's very similar to the Grizzlies situation where they'd already been a playoff team, and then they dip down out of the playoffs, and they get this guy, and now he can step right into a team that can be a playoff team again. So it's a rare situation, but it's a situation that does have a pattern that you can point to.
You started out by pointing out that two last year. Are you going to count Chet Holmgren? Chet Holmgren certainly...
No, I mean, it's partial credit on that one. I think Derek Lively is really the comp you look at. Like, it's a very similar kind of situation. Very different kind of player, but a similar kind of situation.
What's interesting is, of course, James Wiseman is an exception to all of this. Was going to be a center on a good team, you know, like literally.
Yeah, but he was expected to be a project. Even the moment he was drafted, no one thought he was going to step in and be
right.
Like, I mean, he played four games and he played one season in college, and that one season was four games. So that was the idea of someone you develop over time. That was not someone expected to step in and be a quality starter as a rookie, even before he struggled.
Yes, and you could not have college careers that are much different than Zach Edey's and James Wiseman's. Right. By the way, he played the other night and was okay. I don't know if you've been, I haven't particularly been following his preseason.
I think if he's going to work out, and the odds are against it at this point just because of the track record.
Yeah.
But if he's going to work out, I think he is in a good situation in Indiana. Now, there's not a lot of opportunity because they have other players. And so he's like, you're going to be the fifth big or whatever. But like fifth bigs play because like guys miss games. And that's a situation where they're going to play fast. They're going to get up and down the floor. They've got a great point guard who can deliver the ball. And so, like, that's a pretty good system for him. And so I think if it's going to work for him, that's a decent place to try to get it back on track.
By the way, hypothetically, if you could just swap him and Jay Huff, would you?
No. Because, no, the Grizzlies are trying to win right now.
Right.
Jay Huff's, like, 28 years old, and, like, he can shoot threes. And, like, I would not.
You would not. Okay. They get up and down the floor. That's all. They got a point guard who can deliver the ball, athletic tools, all of that. I was just so, okay. Anyway.
I think the utility that Huff has to play with different kinds of lineups because of his shooting is a different kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
You can play Jay Huff and Zach Edey. You can't play James Wiseman and Zach Edey.
That's true. The others on the list, and it is interesting to think how they would plug in. A lot of these were really bad teams. How they would have plugged in to these Grizzlies. Of course, even then, a lot of them are younger. Most of them are much younger, and even though some of them picked higher than Zach Edey, less developed. Jalen Duren, 13th, he was solid. Mark Williams picked 15th, he was solid. Walker Kessler picked 22nd, and then Sengun.
He was good.
He was really good.
His best season has been his rookie year. Yeah.
And then Sengun, not the kind of center you'd want on this team, honestly, as a rookie. He certainly wasn't, as a rookie, the kind of center that you'd want in this team particularly, but also productive. And Wendell Carter, also productive. So you wrote this piece, as you wrote here, in the glow of his best performance ever, of Zidi's best performance as a Grizzly. But what have you observed of his preseason?
I just think that the trick is how much you get him post-ups, you get him paint touches in the context of a team when you have Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson and Desmond Bane. Like, I mean, you don't run your offense through the post for your fourth best player a lot. But, like, over the course of 48 minutes, you know, they may start together, but then you're going to break it up after that. And so you go from a fourth option to, like, a third or a second or whatever in lineups. I think Zach Edey is going to be a high efficiency scorer in the NBA, and I think he's going to be that now. He's 7'4", 300 pounds. He's got touch and footwork. Like I do think people overthought it a little bit, in part because I think a lot of people who pay like more attention to college basketball and scouting than I do developed hard opinions on him like after his like sophomore junior year or whatever, and they didn't want to budge off of it. And I think some of those people have also just developed a rigid notion of like what works and what doesn't in the quote unquote modern NBA. But like when you just came to that relatively fresh and watched him as a senior, like this dude is just a machine in the paint, like with his size and touch. And so I think if a team is willing to get him touches, and I think the Grizzlies are, he's going to be productive from the jump. Like I'm pretty convinced of that. And I think the defensive stuff will be a problem in some moments. And maybe it's a problem at the highest levels of playoff basketball. That is very much a big question. But I think over the course of 82 games, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal because of the coaching and the talent around him that's going to figure out how to maximize the strengths and minimize the weaknesses.
You pointed out that the Grizzlies pushed the pace in their last game against Indiana enough to have 18 transition points. Even as they were still getting plenty of touches for Zach Edey, to your point that there's enough opportunity Everybody eats, as they say. There's enough opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, the bigger question is not, to me, not the system stuff. It's going to be the, when you have John Moran and Jared Jackson, Desmond Bain all there, right? That's going to be more of the thing.
How do you like the hook shot?
I love the hook shot. I like it better when he mixed in the spin move and the power dunk.
Right.
I don't want everything to be hook shot. I want better than hook shots. I want getting to the rim and crushing dudes is what I want more than hook shots. But I like hook shots. I like big man. I like post play. Like, I love Tim Duncan and Hakeem Olajuwon and all of that. And so just as a basketball fan, I get more joy out of seeing like a post move than I do a 3-point shot. I think it's more interesting to watch someone upright in the post and make a bucket, even if it's just a simple like jump hook, almost than it is just taking a three. I mean, how much variation is there in a 3-pointer, right? To me, it's not that interesting. And so, you know, to see his touch and his skill, to see him dropping, like some of these hooks he's dropped in preseason have been like 12-foot hook shots, 10-foot hook shots. And it does not have the elegance of the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhook.
It does not. It's not, a little more mechanical looking.
Right. But when you're 7'4", like a hook shot from more than like 6 feet away by a dude who's 7'4" is kind of hard to contest.
Yes, he can get it off whenever he wants. And then the rebounding and the defense, I don't know. Have you made particular observations about either during this preseason?
I think the rebounding's been good. It has not been dominant. I think it can get better as he gets acclimated to, like, you know, the physicality and everything of the game. It's going to be good just because he's of who he is physically.
Right.
But I think it can get better. It has not been dominant. I think there's the potential for that to come in time. But that's not what it's been yet. And defensively, I mean, he's going to block shots. He's going to be a present at the rim. And I think when he's been pulled out of the perimeter, it hasn't been great, but it hasn't been like a 5-alarm fire either. And so I think it's going to be a matter of scheme and personnel around him. But I think you can build an elite defense with Zach Edey as your center because of you use him as a drop and you take advantage of what he's good at. And you've got Jaren Jackson and Marcus Smart and Vince Williams and guys like this on your team. And so I think the team upside is very high defensively with Zach Edey at center.
You can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. I have tweeted it out. Luke Kennard, foot soreness will be evaluated. I don't know. My thoughts? Probably good if he's fine. You know, let's hope he's fine. I think that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the durability is a question for the Grizzlies, and it's a question that's ingrained in like half the rotation.
Right.
And Luke Kennard is one of those players. I wrote about this earlier. I mean, his history, just like Marcus Smart and John Morant and these other guys, is like he's a 60-game player, not an 82-game player. I don't think if you sort of bake that in, that he's going to miss games, I don't think it matters that much if he's missing game one, because he's probably, if he wasn't missing game one, he's probably going to miss game seven or whatever, you know? And so when it happens is less important than how often it happens, and we'll just have to wait and see on that.
Z-Bo was inducted into the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame last night and was there, and Tony Allen was there, and that was nice. And obviously, I mean, the guy's had his number retired, and this was just another feather in the cap. But it was interesting because Lionel Hollins told the story. He introduced him, and he told the story. He said when the Clippers took Blake Griffin, he made it seem like, and he said, I told Mike Heisley, we've got to get Z-Bo. He's better than Blake Griffin. That's what he said. He said Mike was 100% was against it, but we got to get Mike. And I that seems credible to me. Lionel always seemed down with that move. He seemed to be a proponent of that move. This is the old, you know, who was responsible for drafting Powell thing. Everyone wants to, you know, you look back at it. But was Z-Bo better than Blake Griffin? He was better head-to-head.
I think peak Blake Griffin, most people who are like objective bystanders would say that peak Blake Griffin was higher than peak Zach Randolph. I can certainly buy Lionel Hollins like not valuing an incoming rookie. That passes the smell test, no matter who the incoming rookie is almost. I can also see Lionel Hollins liking Zach Randolph before he coached him. I guess all that stuff was kind of murky. It's even more murky now in the sense that you just don't hear anything.
Right.
But back then it was murky in the sense that you heard like too much stuff and it was conflicting and whatever. The one thing I do remember about that, remember they didn't trade. The Randolph trade did not happen on draft night. Like it happened like a day or two later. It was kind of a weird thing where there was rumors about it on draft night, and then that didn't happen, and then it ended up happening later. I remember talking to Tony Baroni Sr. the day after the draft at whatever, you know, the press conference was, which was that for the beat? Maybe it was for the beat. But I remember talking to Tony Baroni Sr. and talking about the power forward thing, and like I mentioned somebody, David Lee or whatever, and he told me like flat out, he said, I'm more of a believer in going after Zach Randolph.
Yes.
I don't think he was the only person who felt that way, but he was a person I talked to before it happened who felt that way.
Yeah. I talked to him at that same event, and he was 100% Randolph believer. 100% Randolph believer. He acknowledged his you know, the off the court stuff. And Lionel honestly acknowledged it last night. He said he wasn't perfect. You know, like most people aren't. Like there was a record there, but he obviously came here and had a massive impact. And so it was nice to see him go into the Hall of Fame. You've got a charming story, a new entry to the Essential Memphis Library about Alberta Huntley and an album she released at the age of 84. Who is Alberta Huntley?
Alberta Hunter.
Hunter, I'm sorry. Hunter, yes.
Yeah. Alberta Hunter died 40 years ago today, so that's sort of my peg on it. She was born in Memphis in 1895. Mother was the maid at a brothel, ran away from home, basically moved up to Chicago before she was a teenager, but sort of raised in Memphis and maintained a connection to Memphis, was close to W.C. Handy. She was part of that first generation of popular jazz blues artists in America. She collaborated with W.C. Handy. She wrote Bessie Smith's first hit song. She shared the stage with Louis.
This is the 1910s and 20s? I mean,
late teens and 20s was sort of when she emerged. Shared the stage with Louis Armstrong. Did Showboat in London with opposite Paul Robeson. And she was like a big star in that era in the teens and 20s. And then at some point, you know, after that, she sort of went away from music and like just became a nurse. And she was just living in anonymity as a nurse in New York for like decades. And the hospital she worked at forced her into retirement. She had lied about her age to get the job to begin with. So they found out she was 80 instead of 70. That part's not in my story. Like she lied about having a high school diploma, which she didn't have, so she could go to nursing school, and then lied about her age. And so anyway, at some point they found out after she'd been working there 20 years that she was actually like 80 instead of 70, and they made her quit.
Yeah.
And it was only at that point she decided to go back and start singing again. And she started singing at this little jazz club in Greenwich Village called The Cookery. And suddenly it was a sensation. It was like this rediscovered like classic artist from like 40 years ago that everyone had forgotten about. And so she had this late life comeback, and she sang on a Robert Altman movie. She performed at Jimmy Carter's White House. It was on like the Dick Cavett Show and stuff like that. And finally got back into the studio and recorded her first actual solo album at age 84. Came out in 1980 called Amtrak Blues. And that is the record I'm putting into the library. And it is an absolute pleasure. People should go check it out.
Amtrak,
Spotify or whatever.
Amtrak Blues at age 84.
And it's just a recreation of that sort of classic jazz blues sound, the kind of stuff you may have heard at the Palace Theater on Bill Street in 1917 kind of thing.
But some folks thought she even sounded better at 84 than...
Yeah, part of it, I didn't get a lot into this, I referenced it, it gets a little complicated. I don't know, people probably don't really know about Paul Robeson. Paul Robeson's a guy who like sang, he was a black singer, but sang more in like an operatic style than like what you would think of as a blues style. And I think because she found herself in Europe, she found herself on theater stages and these kind of environments, she would sing a little bit with more of that sort of precise diction, sort of light opera style rather than like a down and dirty blues style. And part of why her success was not as great as it might have been is because Bessie Smith came up behind her and was singing in a down and dirty blues style, and that took off. And I think it made someone like Alberta Hunter, even in the moment, sound a little quaint and a little pristine. I think when she came back as more of a blues artist than she'd really been when she was young.
I got it. People can read that piece over at the Daily Memphian. Totally charming. I will listen to the album myself. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. All right, we got Right and Right Trivia next, Jeffrey. And we have a sensational prize. What is it?
Jeff, we have Win 'em Before You Can Buy Them, 2 tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco, or Maniscalco, beg your pardon, and Jim Gaffigan. It's a night of comedy, FedEx Forum, February the 21st of 2025. Tickets will go on sale at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Also, tickets to the 901 Wrestling Show this Sunday evening, 5 p.m. at Minglewood Hall.
The phone number is 445-0929. You got to be right in the right or play honorably. 445-0929, 445-0929. We will take caller number four. We'll do that, and Kevin Cerrito will join the show coming up next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Kevin Cerrito. Czar of Fun and Games here in Memphis, Tennessee. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. We're getting closer to Halloween. The entire Halloween schedule for trivia and bingo is up now at CerritoEntertainment.com. We got a special Beetlejuice trivia happening. We're going to have trick or trivia on Halloween night, as well as a Halloween music bingo, special Disney-themed Halloween event, and one for your dog as well, where you can dress your dog up in a costume. So you can check that schedule up at CerritoEntertainment.com. And, of course, one of our prizes today, Jeffrey mentioned it, the 901 Wrestling's back at Minglewood Hall. We had so much fun when we debuted last month. We're back this weekend. It's the start of the 901 Wrestling Classic Tournament, and the contract was signed right here on 92.9 ESPN yesterday for the big main event, as Kevin Bless, the 901 Wrestling champion, will defend against the self-proclaimed King of Memphis, Hunter Havoc. So that's a big main event coming up this Sunday. Kids get in free. You buy a ticket, you get a free kids ticket. Buy another ticket, get another free kids ticket. So kids 12 and under get in free with the purchase of a ticket at every 901 Wrestling show. So tickets for that available at 901wrestling.com. Or if you win Writer Than Right trivia, right, Jeffrey?
Indeed. It's part of the fabulous prize package, Jeffrey. What else is Christopher? He's our contendant. What a contestant. What's he playing for?
Two tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco and Jim Gaffigan. It's a night of comedy at FedEx Forum, February the 21st of next year. So 2/21/25. Win them before you can buy them. They will go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., as well as the 901 Wrestling tickets, courtesy of Kevin Cerrito.
Welcome to the show, Christopher. I'm turning matters over to Kevin.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Christopher, this is Right or the Right Trivia. Your job's to get more right than Jeffrey. We have Paul's the current events era, and we're into general knowledge here. You'll have, but the rules are practically the same. You'll have the choice of two categories. Whatever you don't choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. He can steal from you at one time and vice versa. You're trying to get more right than Jeffrey in order to win. He's been in a slump, and his personal life has been.
I was thinking about this. Which is more stunning? Jeffrey's struggles or Alabama's, really? Like, which is more stunning to you, Kevin?
To me, it's absolutely Jeffrey struggling, right? I mean, sure, there's
Alabama's
been some changes,
only lost
right?
once.
That's true, but we have a reason for Alabama's. There's been no change
the game's changed.
I guess the game has changed. Yeah,
the all game right, has slightly changed.
You think you go ahead, huh?
And Jeffrey's had like some personal changes going on.
That's
like
true.
He's got a new home venue, so yep. There's
he's got a new dog. I'm not blaming Rocco, but he's got a new dog as well. Anyway,
ooh,
best of luck.
True, yeah.
Let's do this.
Dog,
go ahead.
Like how's the dog fitting in with the team here? Okay, we're going to
not well with the head coach. I know that.
Speaking of dogs, we're going to start with dogs or kids as your opening categories here today. Which category you want, dogs or kids?
Let's go with dogs.
Dogs. What part of the dog is as unique as a human fingerprint? I'm going to give you choices here. Which part of the dog is as unique as a human fingerprint? Do we have A, ears, B, tail, C, nose, or D, stomach?
Okay, go with those again, please.
Which part of a dog is as unique as a human fingerprint? Is it A, ears, B, tail, C, nose, or D, stomach?
Well, as a pit bull lover, and I have dogs and have dogs all my life, they will most definitely be the nose.
Nose is correct.
Nailed it! How many pit bulls do you have, Christopher?
Well, I have one now, but I've had pit bulls, chows, hound dogs, you name it.
All right, he nailed it. He was confident, nailed it, straight up, leads 1-0.
The kids question for you, Jeffrey. In the 1972 book about a boy named Alexander, which of the following is the first word in its title? A, horrible, B, very bad, C, terrible, or D, no good?
Alexander. All right, read it one more time.
You want just the choices?
The
here
choices,
we have
yeah.
A, horrible, B, very bad, C, terrible, and D is no good. Which is the first words in the title?
All right, one more time.
Horrible, very bad, terrible, no good.
I don't know. I'm going to say terrible.
Terrible is correct.
Nailed it. I was down to either terrible or horrible. Yeah. You knew it wasn't very bad and no good. Those were later in the thing. And I think terrible, I was going to guess terrible. I think that's correct. It is 1-1. Impressive start for our two competitors.
We are tied up. Food or drink now?
Christopher?
Let's go with food.
Food. Hershey's Miniatures Variety Pack includes Hershey Bars, Special Dark, Mr. Good Bar, and what other candy? I'm going to give you a choice here. Is it Crackle or Crunch?
So it's multiple choice?
No, it's one.
Crackle 50-50. Or Crunch is the other candy in Hershey's Miniatures Variety Pack. We're all stocking up for Halloween now.
I think we have no Crackle. I don't know.
Crackle, I don't know, is correct. Crackle is in there. Crunch is a Nestle product. Nestle Crunch won't be in the Hershey's pack. Jeffrey, you're getting a drink question also, 50-50 to keep it fair, because we're all about fairness here on Righter Than Right Trivia. Which has more caffeine, a 12-ounce can of Mountain Dew or a 12-ounce McCafe coffee?
I'm going to say Mountain Dew.
You are incorrect. Incorrect. The McCafe, I mean, it's more than double. It's more than double. You got more caffeine in your coffee there.
2-1. The Alabama fans are getting
55.
Restless. The Alabama fans are getting, they're starting to boo here in the first half. It's 2-1.
Do I get a chance to answer this?
No, because
it was a 50-50.
Nice try, Chris, but no, Christopher. All right, back to Christopher. He leads 2-1.
Christopher, you want to go around the world or around the U.S.?
Around the U.S. I'm more familiar with the U.S. than the world.
The flag of which U.S. state depicts a woman stepping on a man?
Ha! That's so great.
Yeah, 50 choices here. Well, we know it's not Tennessee, so, and we know it's not Mississippi. They just changed. So you have 48 choices. Already? It's a U.S. state that depicts a woman stepping on a man.
Stepping on a man.
Vermont. I don't know.
Vermont. Vermont. He guessed Vermont.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Jeffrey, do you want to steal?
No. I know the flag, but I... No.
It's a very familiar flag, but it's you. Yeah. You're very close with Vermont.
I was going to say
Virginia. Virginia. You were with the V's.
Okay. What is happening in this flag? Why is the woman stepping on the man?
it's a great question. I was reading about it just for a moment this morning, but ran out of time. There, it's listed under Washington Post has a story. Seven flags that still have designs with ties to the Confederacy. Right. But
I'll do the research and let us know
what's going on. But yeah, it's definitely a woman stepping on a man. I believe it's a king of some sort.
Okay, so we score still 2-1. We have
Lady Liberty stepping over King. Yeah.
We're back to Christopher.
No, it's me.
Oh, no, you know, it's to Jeffrey now.
I'm confused.
Missed that one. Yeah. We're going around the world now. Leonardo's painting of the Mona Lisa was created in Italy, but is currently housed in what other country?
France.
France is correct.
I even said it with a fancy accent, too. Tied it up 2-2. By the way, the Virginia state flag depicts the Roman goddess Virtus, dressed as an Amazon warrior, standing over the fallen body of tyranny. The motto, Sic Semper Tyrannis, thus always to tyrants, written below the scene. So there you go. Tied up at 2-2. We've got one more round here in regulation.
Yeah, some of the fun of trivia. Like, if you don't get the question right, you can at least learn something by the end of it. Science or songs, your final categories before the main event here.
Let's go with songs.
Songs. The Beach Boys and Marky Mark in the Funky Bunch had two completely different hit songs that shared what title?
Who was the first group?
The Beach Boys
and Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. They had two completely different songs that shared what title?
I know, I'm not too familiar with the Beach Boys, but I know that the Funky Bunch had this song. I have no idea.
I like the spirit he brings to this contest.
Steal!
Yes, I know, yes. Jeffrey's going to steal.
Good Vibrations.
Funky, I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Good Vibrations, he's guessed, and it is correct. He's got the steal. Takes the lead. Sudden turn of events. The Alabama fans are, this is feel more like
threw the ball to Williams.
All right. Back to Jeffrey.
Coming down to the end here. So with science for you, Jeffrey, a substance that makes a phase change from solid directly to gas without ever being a liquid in between is doing what
like
kind
Taco
of phase
Bell.
Change?
It's called Taco Bell. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
It's called what kind of phase change process? Category science. So it's a substance that makes a phase change from solid directly to gas.
What is the stupid name of that?
No. I'm used to getting, you know, it's not its fault. Who's the stupid one?
All right, hang on.
Jeffrey thinking on it. He does not want to lose.
Thinking back to chemistry class.
Yeah.
Thinking back to chemistry tasks. Who taught chemistry to you?
Mr. Shaw.
Mr. Shaw is going to be disappointed if you can't get this one.
I don't think he's with us anymore. God, it's burning.
What's the score right now? We're at
3-2.
3-2.
3-2.
I don't know. Burning.
That is incorrect. We have a steal out there. Do you want to keep it? Save
Chris,
it?
Where you want to take this one or not?
So I get a chance to...
You can steal if you want. You can steal it if you want, or you can save your steal for the final.
You can steal at the end if round, you need to.
If you don't know this. What is it? What's the phase change? Is that what we're looking for?
Right, the type of phase change process. We're all going to recognize it when we hear it, I believe. It's just one of those you just don't. You either know it or you don't necessarily.
I don't know.
Seems like we don't know. What's the answer?
My wife said sublimation. I don't know it, though.
What was that?
My wife said sublimation.
Supplement. That's not. You want to count that as a guess or not?
Yeah, that's why.
Sublimation is the guess.
I've been, and I guess we're allowing wives to get involved here. But sublimation is correct.
Holy smokes! I don't know, Jeffrey. Jeffrey's a little bit concerned about that. I don't think we can give him credit for that.
He's playing honorably. He admitted it, but like
he is playing honorably. But this is a one-on-one thing. This is a one-on-one thing. I hate to say it. What's your wife's name, by the way? Full points to her.
Her name's Charlene.
Good job. She's a genius. She nailed it.
He maintains his steal, honestly.
Have her call in next week. He maintains his steal, but Jeffrey still leads 3-2. We go to the final round. Jeffrey, how many wager? Let me just see. Okay, how many of your points do you want to wager there, Christopher?
Just one.
One. And Jeffrey's wagering two.
Well, I guess I'll do two.
He's doing two. We'll let him go do two. We'll let him do two. Go ahead. Anyway, let's get to the final round, Kevin.
All right, the final round is going to be trivia math. So you got a math problem you're going to have to figure out. Do you want question A or B?
Is this for me or Jeffrey?
Really, it's
for you. Yeah, you should.
Really honest, it probably should be for your wife. You know. No, it's for you.
No, give me. I'm pretty good at math. Give me math.
All right.
But you do an A or B?
A or B.
A is fine.
Question A. All right. What is the sum of the number in the title of the most recently released Ocean's movie plus the number of interior angles that a heptagon has?
Oh, come on.
Okay.
The most recent.
We'll do math. So we're looking for the title of the most recently released Ocean's movie. So
like
the number
Oceans,
in that title.
Whatever. Plus.
Plus the number of interior angles that a heptagon has.
Okay. A heptagon has... What? Heptagon.
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 Heptagon. Heptagon has five. And... Ocean's... I don't know. Let's say they have... What is it? I think 12.
So total is the total? Are you saying 17? Or are you saying 12 total?
You said it's multiplied or is it added?
Add it.
Add them together. Yeah, add them together.
Okay, I'll say 13. I just say 13.
He's saying 13. Ah, so close here.
Jeffrey,
so close.
You steal?
But
I've already used my steal. I think it's 8 plus 7, right?
Well,
so 15.
A heptagon is 7.
Yes, and it's Ocean's 8.
And it's 8, so it's 15. So it's 15, but he's already used his steal.
Right, 15 is the correct answer.
All right, so it appears that Jeffrey's going to win, but we got to play to the whistle, the final whistle.
Well, no, he could steal.
Oh, yeah, he could still steal.
If I'm missing,
he could still steal. That's true.
Missing a steal, so yeah.
Although he's gotten
all right, here we go. Trivia math, Jeffrey. What is the sum of the number of British kings who officially use the name Charles plus the number of broke girls mentioned in the title of the CBS sitcom that ended in 2017?
5.
Woo! That is correct!
Wow!
Jeffrey got it!
What's the math there,
Jeffrey? 3 plus 2.
What?
3 plus 2.
There are 3 Charleses and
Charles
2 broke
third.
Girls?
Yes.
Charles, Christopher, you got to be impressed that he nailed that one.
Jeffrey's the GOAT.
Jeffrey is the GOAT. I would say, Chris, I don't know that anyone has ever played more honorably than Christopher.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Christopher, Jeffrey's going to...
I've got all his info.
Oh, he's
good
got
to
it. Enjoy the show. Thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Kevin, that was an entertaining tilt. And you got 901 Wrestling this weekend, right?
Yes. This Sunday is 901 Wrestling. Go to 901wrestling.com. Get your tickets. Kids, get in free. It's going to be a big show. But also, the questions we just asked, you got an advantage for tuning in. So if you go play trivia tonight, we're at 4 different places around town, or on Tuesday or Wednesday next week, you'll hear these questions. We ask all of them. We go through every single question eventually, and you definitely get 1 to 4 every single night that you heard right here on the Jeff Calkins Show. So use your advantage and win big tonight. You can find out where to play at CerritoEntertainment.com.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. It's cold out. It is cold out. And one of the great things about being cold out is that I was able to buy my closet today and I pulled out my Steel jacket. I love my Steel jacket. I got it at O'Call. Steo is this. There's only one Steo outlet in Memphis. The outerwear is absolutely magnificent. I look stylish, warm, toasty. You walk into Oak Hall, though, right now, and you got all kinds of beautiful outerwear. And you got quarter zips, and they still got the they've got the quarter zips and the hoodies in the collegiate colors. So whether it's Tennessee or it's a good gift too, by the way, Tennessee colors or Ole Miss colors or Memphis colors or Arkansas colors, like they, in the official collegiate colors, quarter zips and hoodies. But then also, I was MC of the. It's funny. I was the MC of the Hall of Fame ceremony last night, along with Wolo. Wearing a sport coat from Oak Hall. The other night at the basketball game, literally someone came up and said to me, "Was that Oak Hall? You look good. Is that Oak Hall?"
Of course it was.
This never happened to me before, ladies and gentlemen.
Wonder
Oak
why.
Hall. The clothes are stunning, but the people are the secret sauce. This would be a perfect weekend to get in and get yourself something or get someone you love something. Look at the Steo collection. Absolutely beautiful. It's Oak Hall. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN. Got an NFL game tonight. Broncos at the Saints. Sean Payton returns. If you want to wager on it, head on over to FanDuel. New customers, bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. You got the battle of the rookie quarterbacks, Jeffrey, going on there. You can put together a quick same game parlay. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more. This season, FanDuel is official sportsbook partner of the NFL. It's safe, it's secure. You get your money fast. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Jeffrey, what do you think of this battle of the rookie quarterbacks, Spencer Rattler and Bo Nix?
Yeah, honestly, like if you would have watched both play back to back. Last week, I think I was a little bit more interested in Rattler. Now, Nix was terrible.
Rattler missed a lot of open throws. Like he didn't. Well, I don't even miss the throw. He missed the fact that the dudes were open. That's what I saw more of the Rattler game.
So Bo in the because that was like a 305 special. Bo has done this thing where, and I guess Auburn fans are nodding their head like that's kind of what Bo does, where. He'll look god-awful for three quarters, then in the fourth quarter, he just kind of cranks it up. But I still thought that was more of like the Chargers trying to like take their foot off the gas and get out of there.
Also, interesting, there's been some talk about, now we've had a couple of deals in the NFL, right? What more deals might there be? And over at ESPN, they were suggesting some. Ready? Here's one. DeAndre Hopkins to the Chiefs for a fifth.
I mean, buying into Hopkins, what he said yesterday? Hopkins said he's not going to ask out.
Right.
Now,
not asking out is, yeah, no. I think you just say that. No,
yeah.
I don't think you buy into that.
I mean, if you get Hopkins for a fifth, but it just
he's
feels
a free
like
agent after this year.
We always so do this thing.
Wouldn't you rather be catching passes from Patrick Mahomes?
No, I mean, I'm for sure. I feel like we're now doing the move of every time we're going to move a receiver, we're just trying to fantasy book him to the Chiefs.
Well, that is one. I do think they'll make a move for a receiver. And the advantage is that they don't need a receiver after this year because they got some big contracts to hand out and they got Rashee Rice coming back, presumably, right? So, and Hollywood Brown also coming back next year. So they don't need a multi-year receiver. They just need a receiver, stopgap receiver for this year. I hope they get nobody. You know, I'm not a fan, but that's an obvious one. The other one is Hassan Reddick to the Lions for a sixth was suggested. Now, he's got there's still some idea that he might return to the Jets. Like, that is evidently not beyond the realm of possibility. Whoever brings him in, whether it's to the Jets or to the Lions, you're going to have to pay him. It's pretty clear at this point. The deal that was suggested was a 2-year, $40 million deal. The Lions could pay him. Obviously, you're trying to make up for the absence of Aiden Hutchinson. And particularly given how good the Lions have looked
it seems like they should do something in order to enhance their chances. I mean, they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And so bringing Hassan Reddick to the Lions for a sixth was suggested. Another one that was suggested was Bryce Young to the Dolphins for a fourth. The Panthers continue to insist that they're not done, but that's not how they've acted, as if they are not done. So you would think that Bryce Young to the Lions, I mean, to the Dolphins for a fourth makes some sense. I mean, he's like Tua, not just that he went to Alabama, not that just he's considered breakable, but he's a little guy. He's got to get the ball out of his hand fast. So I don't hate that one. So that one seems to make some sense to me. And then another possibility is Mike Williams, Jets receiver. He is now on the market after Aaron Rodgers threw him under the bus. Mike Williams to the Steelers for a seventh. The Steelers have been involved in trying to find a receiver since preseason. It felt like the Steelers were trying to get a receiver. Mike Williams to the Steelers for a seventh as a possibility. It is interesting that the trade deadline in the NFL used to be absolutely nothing. It felt like it didn't matter. It was a big nothing burger. And now the trade deadline in the NFL is interesting. You've got these teams that want to compete for a Super Bowl, are in a position to compete for a Super Bowl. And then the other teams like, okay, fine, we're done. We're done here. How much is DeAndre Hopkins going to continue to help the Dolphins? I mean, the Titans, really. How much is okay, there we are. Now it's on. Should I say goodbye, Brad? Brad, we seem to be having technical difficulties in the studio.
Yeah, the thing that plays commercials just went out. So, like, your dismount will be a little
My dismount will be a little awkward.
Yeah, I'll get
We are having, ladies and gentlemen,
this is the first.
We are having technical difficulties here in studio. So the normally we do a, I say goodbye. I say my work here is done. And then we take a break and we play commercials. And then Jason and John come in. And we may literally do a different kind of a handoff. We may just do the straight baton from me to Jason. The machines have all collapsed in there. And so this is where we are.
I'll tell you what. Am I on? Is this on? Can I hear? I can't even hear myself now. There we go. Gosh, everything's going to hell here, Jeff. I don't know what's going on. Let me get some commercials. We'll play some commercials. If you want to say goodbye,
goodbye,
that's fine.
People. Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow for Now Work Is
Thank
Done.
You. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.